God. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Hallelujah. Here's something, homie. Oh, that was it. Well, I want to kind of go on a little bit from what I shared on Sunday about the fear of the Lord. And I told you that I had a lot of verses on Sunday that I probably wouldn't get to, which I did not, and I have no idea how long I will look at this. But really the truth of the matter is, it's been kind of part of what we've been talking about with sanctification. You know, where, you know, we go back to the four C's, right? And it's been a theme for a while. And really, if we look at this honestly and everything, God's looking for people, like Peter says, be ye holy, for I am holy, separated, right? And one of the things that we talked about, or the main theme that we talked about, the fear of the Lord, I have to admit I did something that I've not done in years and years and years and years and years. I mean, it's been quite a few years since I did it. But I actually listened to the message. You know, I don't normally do it because, number one, I don't like to hear my voice, and I think, you know, when I preach, you know, if I do it, I feel good about it. But sometimes when I listen to it, I might be my biggest critic. And, you know, and I always say to myself, well, I need to adjust this or do that. And really the truth of the matter is it's just me getting in the way. But I did. I listened to it. And one of the reasons I listened to it was because I said some things. I've been around a long time, and I said some things that I'd never heard anybody say before. I didn't say nobody's ever said them. I said I've never heard anybody say it. I personally believe at some point in some time, you know, somebody has preached something somewhere, and anytime somebody thinks they have an original message, well, you know, the original message is the Bible. So, so unless you've been around that long, don't go blowing your own trumpet, right? But, you know, one of the things that I liked, and I like to talk about, you know, we live in a day and age where really nobody wants to be responsible for anything. We've taken accountability out of the equation, and everybody wants to win the lottery, you know, by paying a buck, and it's really not God's way, is it? It's never been God's way. Never will be God's way. I mean, listen, if he gives us many parables with the very fact of using farmers or gardeners or whatever, right? Anybody that knows anything about that, listen, you don't take a packet of seeds and end up at the grocery store overnight, right? It takes time. It takes a process. And he explains all that actually in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the truth of the matter is, I like eating tomatoes, but I'll tell you what, I'm sure eating tomato seeds apart from the tomato, right, probably isn't, you know, on the top of my food list. Right? So God has a process, doesn't he? And so therefore, in the process, we have to be accountable, we have to be responsible, we have to be all these things that he requires us. I really like the fact, you know, for me personally, you know, most folks, you know, and I actually have, you know, I said it the other day, I have a couple cards on my sleeve. I seriously, in since Sunday, I seriously have like 100 messages going through my head right now. That it will take time to get to them, not tonight, but time. And I don't understand everything that God's trying to say, but it's like, okay, I just, it's like, okay, he pours in. And so I guess I have to, I believe, so therefore I speak as the Bible says, amen? And one of the things that we don't want to be, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, is the reason we don't like order is because no one wants to be disciplined in their life, right? I can do what I want, say what I want, go where I want, when I want. And if I have enough money, nobody's going to tell me anything, right? But the one thing that I like about the picture in the garden with Adam and Eve was this. Was God spoke to them only one time. And then Adam became the preacher, and he declared it to his wife. But they still had to make a choice, and God didn't stop them. And the reason he didn't was he was trying to get humanity to know and understand that God was going to have a pure and clean people that will obey his voice. Watch this, not just a minute. I'll be there just a minute. When it's, you know, on my terms. No. This is what I want. Follow it. Now, we have no problem if General Motors tells us to do that and we work there because we know the reward is immediate. Pretty much so, right? You get money. But because God says it, and we can go to Peter, as some men count what? Slackness. But God does not. People do. And we read out of Ecclesiastes, I'm just going over a little bit on what we talked about, that because there's no consequences, immediate consequences for actions, we just keep right on doing what we want to do, right? Now, the story in the book of Acts could change our mind. You know, everybody wants power, signs and wonders and miracles, but listen, that's what comes with that kind of power. Right? And we all will say we fear the Lord. True? No problem at all. And I mean, if you really read the Bible, you know, let's read this first. I'll start here. I didn't know where I was going to start. That's why I'm rambling. Go here. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. I think this is a good springboard, okay? A good diving board, right? Now, you know, I listened to the message, and when I listen to the message, I seriously do this. I begin to, you know, I listen to what God is saying, but you also can begin to hear other voices that would want to contradict or go against what the word is, right? And the reason is because we really don't discern spirit. We play the word game. And then really the truth of the matter is we listen to messages kind of like the way we read our Bible, with a preconceived notion. Right? And so if we already have a certain philosophy or doctrine of what we think we're hearing, right, we either get on board or we don't get on board, right? And you know, a lot of folks would say, you know, I don't want to fear the Lord. I want to love God. Well, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, I love my dad. I love my dad my whole life growing up. My dad was good to us. He was a great provider in the natural, right? But he was a wonderful provider, spiritually speaking, also. Let me tell you,
like electricity, I had a healthy respect for him. Are you with me? Because he knew how to adjust and tune you just right. But it never affected his love for me one bit. I might have thought at times he didn't love me, right? And a lot of people might have even thought he was mean. Geez, I can remember a few times that I was think that, you know, truth of the matter is, he'd probably be in jail today for child abuse. Which, the truth of the matter is, geez, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I thank God I'm a product of my mother and father, and they did okay. Not perfect. Just ask anybody. Truth of the matter is, I don't have a lot of friends, and most people don't like me, but that's okay. It doesn't bother me. That's the one thing I like about my dad and mom. Well, maybe my dad, not so much my mom. If you're listening, Mom, forgive me. But, you know, you got to have thick skin. You just do. Because too many people have thin skin and they get offended about everything and nothing. Right? 8, 9, 10. But we must have the fear of the Lord. And I went rambling, but one of them, or some of them questions that I could hear is, well, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind? Not even the same. What he's talking about is don't fear the enemy. We're talking about fear of the Lord. Well, wait a minute, perfect love casts out all fear. He's still talking about don't be afraid to be a witness and a testimony to God. Love God with your whole heart. Don't be afraid. Because the truth of the matter is, when the Bible was written, them apostles, those disciples, those Christians, those believers, they didn't sit in an air-conditioned building wondering what time will church be over. No. Right? We talk big, but the truth of the matter is, and what I really want to talk about tonight is you know, if we really, the fear of the Lord, right? We can say what we want, right? But everybody knows there's a litmus test, isn't there? And if we've not done one thing well in the last, I don't know how many years, we've done this image to make anybody believe. Even if you think they're a liar, they're okay with that, just as long as they're putting the image out there that they're a certain way. I like to call them charmers, right? Are you with me? Now, why did I go here? Do you remember? Because I said this was my springboard, right? Now, you would have to read all of Ezekiel. It actually starts, well, you would have chapter 33 here. And now, one thing I did after I listened to it, I actually did say I'm going to do this. I told Steve this, and I'm actually going to do this, hopefully. If I read and I actually put in the opposite word to make you think, you can't, you know, people can't hear you guys what you say, so they might think I'm reading the Bible wrong, so I better say it correct and then maybe do my thing later. But are you with me? Verse 30. And also thou, son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Geez, we would not say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. We wouldn't say that. Just like we wouldn't say, I don't think you should have to have the fear of the Lord. We wouldn't say these things. We all would say we do, right? Litmus test coming. Are you with me? And they come unto thee as people come. And they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. Now, you know what covetousness, right? It means lust, and it doesn't just, you know, equate it to the three-letter word. Lust is just, it just means desire, whatever your desire is. Listen, it can be a religious desire, can't it? Your own gain. They love to come. They sit, they hear the words, but they what? They won't do them. Oh, I mean, seriously, I had several people, you know, I mean, even got texts back, people who listened to the message. Excellent, great message, great message. But the question really is, I mean, this is really the question for myself, and it's really for all of us. Will we do what we hear? Now, we love to quote Jesus, but Jesus was always talking to the church folks about being hypocrites. Got a great doctrine. Got a great philosophy. Matter of fact, it was so good that Jesus told the disciples, don't do what they do what they say. They come, they sit, they hear, but they won't do. And then they say with their mouth, what? They show much love, but their heart. And we know this, the Bible says, where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Man, great message. Sounds like a love song. Charmers. Seriously, I've been doing this a long time, and I know a lot of people that have been doing it for a long time. And when you meet people and they tell you almost right off the bat, where have you been all my life? I've been looking for you. This is the kind of message I immediately put up a stop sign. Because they're about to blow right through it and they just don't understand what God really wants. And it will take, watch this, the fear of the Lord to pay a price. To be responsible, right? And understand that if you don't walk uprightly, there are consequences, right? Are you with me? And I'm not trying to be heavy or down or any of these things, but we could read the Bible from cover to cover, and you will find out that people find themselves in these positions all the time. Amen? Okay, now turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 29. Sorry. Are you with me? Now, this is one of my favorite verses. And the reason one of my favorite verses, I would say it was about 1987, right in there. So about as old as Beck. I was reading a book at work and had some little bit of spare time. And I literally remember coming across this verse in the book. And it literally brought tears to my eyes because I said to the Lord, I don't want to be like this. But he says here in verse 13, wherefore the Lord said. Now, it's interesting that the Lord says this because surely we wouldn't. Because remember in the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, they said they were rich, full of goods, and didn't need anything. But the Lord said they were wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and poor. A total different description. Right? They saw themselves one way, but God saw them for who they really were. Okay. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Now, I always like to look at heart as desire or lifestyle or behavior or whatever you want to do, but you can fill in the blank there. But all of a sudden, they sound good. Preach, right? But when they walk in life, right? Listen, why did the Lord give us His Spirit? To be able to walk uprightly. It's simple. It wasn't to make me rich. Wasn't to make me popular. Geez, some of the most important people in the Bible don't even have a name. They were never named. They might have lived in Poor Yearn Township and no one knew who they were. They took care of their families. They walked uprightly before the Lord. And no one may never know their name. They may never do a miracle. May never do anything. But they do what God wants. Live uprightly. They hear. They obey. They do. Amen. Now, what would make us not do that? What would make us, what would make us say the right things? I have to admit, I read this verse I don't know how many times in the last few weeks, and I never even caught this till just now. Watch. But have removed. They removed it. Have removed their heart from far from me. Remember in the book of Revelation? It says what? To the church of Ephesians. It says you what? Left your first love. I've heard many preachers always preach that. They lost it. No, they didn't lose it. They left it. But here's the interesting part right here. And this equates to with Ezekiel. They come, they sit, they listen, they hear, they think it sounds great. It sounds like a love song, right? But then they don't do. And here's why. Ready? Their fear, same word, fear the Lord, right? Their fear toward me is, it comes in a teaching. Not in an encounter with God. Not in a relationship with God, not in a desire of being one with God. No, it's taught. Mom and daddy teach you. The preacher teaches you. Somebody teaches you. It all depends who you want to heap to you, right? Itching ears. But it still is taught. You remember, I don't know, I think it was in Job. And I'll try to sit down in a second, but listen, what is a marsh? It's where water comes in and it doesn't flow out. Kind of like a lot of church folks. The water is the word, the Bible says, right? It flows into their lives. They talk good. I should have said they talk well. Jeez, is that a hick preaching? Are you with me? But their fear toward me is taught by the precepts or watch this, the traditions of men. It's like this. Some of you may have heard me tell this story the other day, and you know, my kids actually, when I told them, oh yeah, I've known that, but it's interesting. I look and I see on the internet when I'm looking at the Weather Channel, and it dangerous new fad, right? That they're putting sunscreen or tape and stuff on, and they're getting, you know, it's called sunburn art. And I'm like, geez, that's not new. How old's this reporter? 24? You get my point there, don't you? And that's a problem with a lot of folks that come to church. They hear something, and it's like, oh my God, this is it. No, most of the stuff people are hearing today, geez, it was going on years before even I was born. I literally, seriously, if you don't believe me, George Warnock wrote a book in 1953. You ought to go read that book. It's called The Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm telling you what, he wrote things in there, right? 1953, how many years ago was that? Plenty, right? That I guarantee you most church folks, unless they're real old folks in church, right? Most church folks that are saying things like the first time they ever heard it, huh, he wrote it in the book in 1953. What's your point? My point is, listen, we hear someone say something, and there's a reason why I'm saying that. Now, I have a verse, and I'll tell you in a minute. But listen, it's taught. It's the precepts. It's traditions. Stories. Fables is what they are. That's what Paul wrote. They're fables. Are you with me? You know, I have to say that I want to get over to where Jesus actually repeated this. But before we go there, I have a verse because now I've said that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Did you read your Proverbs today, Beck? Pretty good today, huh? Really good today. I should actually use a few of them tonight. I could, right? There's no doubt about it. Proverbs chapter 12, are you there? Now, it said this, right? It said that their fear is what? Taught. Now, you can teach someone that, you know, there are consequences or whatever you want to do, right? You know, you can teach. And you know as well as I do, you can teach and you can have it all right here. Right. I told you the story of my friend many years ago when I worked in Detroit, right? And he was trying to convince me of a certain thing. And then one of my other friends said, listen, Wayne, this is what it says in the Bible. Why don't you believe him? He said, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. Tradition. It's what we get taught. Geez, Haley, you're going to be a preacher because you're about as loud as I am. Are you with me? Now look at this verse. Are you in Proverbs 12? Verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Right? Now, who is the bread of life? Jesus, right? He says, I'm the bread of life. And we also know that the word is bread, right? Right? In symbolism or symbolic gestures, if I can use that term. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. So in other words, listen, I'm telling you this. I don't know what I know just because I listened to a bunch of people. No, I went and tilled the ground. And if you don't till the ground, all you're going to do is listen to the precepts or the traditions of teaching by men. And you will never eat bread. You'll end up start quoting some of these folks and believing whatever they're saying is true. But the Bible don't say it. Don't teach it. And then we end up doing this. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, I know you love me and I praise you. He said, no. You say it with your mouth. Because our lifestyle betrays us, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Because, you know, if I'm still, you know, being a gangster, you know, I just was being extreme there. But if I'm still cheating and still lying, and geez, if I'm going out and getting tattoos and I grew up in the church, what makes me any difference? And I'm only talking about natural things. But what about the matters of the heart? You know, you guys don't really totally understand, but listen, you know, and thank God that Stephen came through with surgery and everything, but listen, the doctors had been watching him for how many years, and they only noticed that there was only one valve. I mean, they checked him last week, and there was only one valve, but once they went inside, are you hearing me? There was something else revealed. And what did David write in the Psalms? He says, thou desire truth in the inward parts. And our problem is we're always judging by what's on the outside only. That's why we end up thinking that we're rich, full of goods, you know, spiritually speaking, and we don't need anything. God's given us the answer. When he's telling us, listen, there's something inside that needs to be dealt with. A clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Because, right, none of us would say, none of us, right? None of us. Well, I don't fear the Lord. I wonder if we really believe that when, you know, we're mouthy to our parents. We don't listen to the preacher. Right? Because God said this, didn't he? They don't reject you. They reject me. That's what God said. And that's why he said this. Listen, they honor me with their mouth, or they you know, they praise, they say they love me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. And we all know this, right? Isn't this sad? I mean, it's a sad commentary. It's a sad commentary. Far too many Christian leaders, I don't care the denomination or the non-denomination, when the closet gets opened up, sometimes it's not so pretty. And they're supposed to be representation, or better yet, ambassadors of Christ. But I wonder if we're the same way when we're not so, watch this, in order. Our problem is we've made order according to our own order. Watch this. I'll do what I want, when I want, where I want, how I want, oh, on my time. Oh, on my dime. And the reason we do that, right, is because what? We follow vain persons that are void of understanding. You know, I was reading in 2 Chronicles about Hezekiah, you know, because Israel was messed up. I mean, they were messed up when Hezekiah. But the Bible says Hezekiah was a godly king, and he did everything that was right. He did what God wanted. And the first thing he started doing was they had priests in there that weren't priests. They had people doing all kinds of function and jobs because probably they wanted to do it. I had that desire in my heart. But that didn't mean God wanted them to do it. So he had to clean them all. He had to clean the temple. He had to broom everybody out of the place. And the first thing he had to do is he had to put everything back in order. But if you keep reading on, you know what? It says, finally, they were all in order. Oh, actually, I think it says the Lord's order. The singers, the musicians, everybody had their own function, right? And then the next thing you know, can you imagine this? I can't even imagine this. The next thing you know, Hezekiah came down and he said, hey, what's this heap? And the priest said, the people kept bringing so much money that we didn't know what to do with it. They had to build extra chambers. In other words, God's supply never ran out. Now, we can talk natural, but what about spiritual? Amen? Okay. All right. I don't want to wear you out. It's Wednesday. Got to have a Wednesday message so I can go home feeling good. Are you with me? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Now, in Matthew 15, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and the Pharisees, you know, they were a little upset because the disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate, right? Now, if you're fixing my food and you haven't washed your hands, well, I probably won't eat. But anyway. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never read anywhere, and I've read the Old Testament lots of times, where it ever said that they had to wash their hands before they ate. Right? Now, I never read it, did you? But somewhere along the line, it got in the church. Now, if you get hung up on about, we're talking about just washing hands, you're going to miss the point here, aren't you? We're talking about how traditions or teachings slip into people's minds, and the next thing you know, they're following them, and they don't even know if they're true or not. The only way this can really happen is there's really no fear of God. And when there's no immediate consequences, no one else is afraid. That's why they went 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus without ever being concerned of immediate consequences. Because people were born and they died. They were born and died. And it was just the natural process of life. So it was no big deal. The same with out in the wilderness, right? That's why they never circumcised their children that were born in the wilderness. Oh, you know the interesting thing. Before Hezekiah showed up, those same children that got circumcised, when they came into the land and the years went by, guess what they stopped doing? Observing the feast. Truth of the matter is, they created a counterfeit. And the majority, 10 tribes, followed the counterfeit, and only 2 tribes followed what God wanted. Be careful of the masses. Are you with me? Now, so they were, you know, they were testing Jesus, right? About, you know, they were, watch, look at verse 3. It says, verse 2, he says, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash out their hands when they eat bread. And he said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, honor thy father and mother. It's still, no matter what, it still is the first commandment with promise. And yet we have children running amok. Watch this in the church. It's true. One thing I've always learned, and it didn't matter whether it was my natural parents or even when I grew up in the church I grew up in, listen, whether you liked what they did or not, they were the authority and they had the bottom line say. They were in charge. What if they're really evil? And then the Lord says to pray. And he knows how to correct matters, doesn't he? Am I telling Bible or am I making it up? Bible. Steve and I were talking the other day. In Peter, it says, honor the king, doesn't it? Fear the king. Wait a minute, Obama? I got to honor Obama? No, the Bible says pray. Because really, if you understand what God's doing, what? Listen, you know, I don't want to go here. I really don't want to go here. But what if you were a slave and you had a master? Come on, the Bible talks about it. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. Slaves, obey your masters. Because they're no different than you. Well, why am I a slave and he's a master? Hey, the Bible says, now see, I'm going to mess you all up. God sets the borders and our habitations that we might what? Seek the Lord. So guess what? I didn't ask to be a male. I didn't ask to be a white male. I didn't even ask to be born in this time frame. But God did for one purpose, that I, as an individual, might seek him amongst a group. And you can fill in the blank for yourself, right? Honor the king. Okay? Now, so they didn't honor their father and their mother. You know, they were more worried about the disciples' hands being clean than... Now, you know, I mean, I've seen this. You ever work on a car or something and someone bring you a little something, you might have the greasiest hands in the world and you still might pick that cookie up and eat it, right? Because it doesn't bother you, does it? Now, if I handed you the cookie, you probably wouldn't eat it. But you get my point, right? And they were more concerned about hands being clean than whether they were really honoring their father and their mother. And the truth of the matter is, we can think in our minds that we honor our father and mother, but guess what? There's a litmus test. A litmus test, isn't there? It's not what I say. It's not what I hear. It's what I do. And I'm not talking about, you know, you have an individual moment where your nose hairs are crossed and you're a little bent out of shape. We're talking about a practicing lifestyle. Because if your practicing lifestyle is upright, you'll have less crossed nose hair events, right, in your life. Because then the peace of God begins to take over. And you really come to a place in understanding that the only way God ever builds the house is in peace and not in war or argument times. And I don't care. I've met a lot of people in my life, and a lot of people tell me, I don't like to argue, but I'll tell you what. Jeez, old Pete, we all like to argue. And remember what James said, why we like to argue? Because we're self-centered. Isn't that what he said? Okay. Verse 7, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw near or nigh unto me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But look at how he says it a little different. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, listen, we're not talking about false doctrines. Because Jesus said, hey, do as they say, just don't do as they do. What's God trying to get you and I to understand? That our fear of him doesn't come from a teaching. I could preach the best message in the whole wide world on Sunday and it won't change you one bit unless you decide to till your own land so you can eat your own bread. Because it's the only thing that will change you. You have to have an encounter with God for yourself. It doesn't matter how much I shake my head yes or no. Doesn't matter how much I agree. Does not matter. It can sound like a love song. You know what I love about the Lord? Can't fake him out. He knows what you're thinking. before you're thinking. You can't fool him. What's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You can't fool God. And you know, the truth of the matter is, people can't fool you if you lock in with him. That's why he said to do what? Discern the spirits, the attitudes, the mindsets, to see if they what? Are from God. Are you with me? Geez, that was one of the things I kept hearing myself say, and I said I wasn't going to say it anymore. But I guess it's just me. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read this again, but over in, I think it's in Luke or Mark. I won't read it. It's basically the same. There was one I wanted to read, but I don't see it. Now turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. I'm not going to be long tonight. Are you with me? Are you with me, with me? You understand what I'm saying? What's my point tonight? The fear of the Lord can't be taught. The truth of the matter is, it has to be caught. James says this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I had someone text me and tell me that they listened to my message and they said that, they were telling me how they feared the Lord, and yet I won't go into detail because it might give away who it is, but it really concerned me because obviously they didn't have enough fear not to do what they did. Right? The litmus test always will be what we do, not what we say. Always. And the only reason it ever works that way is because that's the way God planned it. And you know how we get around that, don't you? You know what our loophole is, don't you? We just get someone to tell us how great we are. Get us someone to tell us messages we like to hear. And guess what? We develop a mindset from the traditions of men. This is why most folks, seriously, watch. They read their Bibles, they don't till. They don't mine for gold. Right? Geez, if mining for gold was so easy, everybody'd be rich, right? Drive down the road, see that sign. I think I passed two or three of them. The lottery, $120 million. Geez, I just have to stop and pay a dollar. What's a dollar? I think I'll just skim over this verse today. There can't be much here. Seriously, I send like out 30-some texts a day, right, with verses on them. And I literally do this. I pray and I say, God, this might be the only verse they read all day long, which is sad. You know what's sadder, though? Is when we read the Bible with a preconceived notion that we think we already know what it says. And the reason we already think we know what it says, watch this, is because somebody taught us something. Hey, if I go to work and they're always trying to stretch me, I just want to stretch your minds. I just want to stretch your hearts. I don't want us to fall into the trap that, hey, I know something, but guess what? That's only my opinion of myself. You sang the song. You worship until when? And we know that worship, right, isn't just coming in here singing songs. Worship is lifestyle, behavior. I kid you not. I got to be careful here, and I don't want to be, you know, I'm careful in my stories, but they're illustrations and they're examples. But listen, I actually had to counsel some people one time, and I found out that they had called the sheriff. I didn't know until we were sitting there. And I said to the person, I said, hey, listen, what would happen if the sheriff came in and he saw you guys? He'd turn around and walk out. Geez, if they got to have the sheriff come because they're having a domestic issue, how's it working in their life at that church? I never thought of that. That's the problem. We don't think. Hey, how many believe that we have the mind of Christ like the Bible says? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But then it says we must put it on. In other words, we've got to use it. Watch this. I really believe this. The reason there's no common sense, or like my dad always has said, common sense isn't so common, is because we stop thinking like God. Watch. Simple. Garden. Illustration. Right? Adam, eat from any tree, but not this one. Common sense says, hey, if I eat from this one, I'm going to die, but if I eat from these, I'm going to live. Common sense says, do what he says. Because I didn't exist a few minutes ago, but he did. Right? But there's always a test. In this world, you're going to have trouble or tribulation or tests. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different kinds of tests. Why would this loving, kind God test me? Because he doesn't want you to be fooled. You're just saying something with your mouth. He wants you to be a doer and not a sayer. Okay, I'm all done. Are you ready? So if we leave tonight and I ask you the question, what was tonight's message about? Fear of the Lord is not taught, is it? Cannot be. You have to till your own land. You know, in John it says this, in the epistles of John it says, listen, you don't need any man to teach you but the Holy Ghost. Now, people will run wild with that and say, I don't need a teacher. But we already know the balance of that is he gives us pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, right? It's what it says. So it comes that way. But listen, the greatest, I think, you know, I always think I'm a pretty good preacher until I listen to myself. But I think that God has given me some little bit of gifting to be able to get the word out. But it won't do any good unless the Holy Ghost works in your life. He's the only one that can turn the light on. Amen? Yes. Yes, absolutely.